I was great.
You were great?
I was great. Until I saw him.
Ah, come on.
Okay. 33, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph, 33a3. Okay, the Gemara before was talking about if somebody did two crimes. One is whipping, and at the same time you'd have to pay money. So the Gemara was discussing before, which one of the two do you do? Because we learn out from another pasuk, that you can only be punished for one crime, not for two. So the question is, one second, let's figure out where we're up to.
What did the guy do?
One second, we'll talk in a second. We're starting 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines from the end of the page. Okay, tomorrow we're discussing if somebody did an Aveda, like for instance, in the case of the Mishri, seduced a sister, where there's Malkus and there's fines, do you have to do both? And which one of the two do you do? So the Gemara learned out from a pasuk before, you cannot get whipped and money at the same time. Now, the Gemara said before there was an argument between Ula and Rabbi Yechanan, and now the Gemara is going to say another opinion, because Rabbi Yechanan holds when there's both, Rabbi Yechanan says you get whipped, you don't pay the money. Ula said, you pay the money, you don't get whipped. Okay?
If you can't pay the money, then you get whipped?
Huh?
If you can't pay the money, then you get whipped?
No, it's a debt that you have to pay. Yeah. So now the Gemara says like this. Rav Shisha b'rei David Yomar. Rav Shisha, the Gemara tried to figure out before, now without going into the whole Gemara again, how do I know that if you wound somebody, where you did a biblical negative commandment of hitting somebody, which is a negative commandment, which normally would get you lashes for negative commandment, but the fact is you have to pay damages, you damage the guy when you beat him up. So we said before in the Gemara, the din is you pay money and you don't get whipped. He says, the chayvel b'chaverin ami, we find if somebody wounds his friend, mameina mishalim, he pays money, but milkaler lock, but he doesn't get whipped. So he's going to see another source where we learn this out from. The pasuk says like this: V'chi yinotzu anoshim, if two men were fighting, okay. So pasuk in Mishpatim, two men were fighting. What else is new? V'nakfu isha hara, and they by mistake pushed a pregnant woman. V'yatzu yiladeh, and she miscarried because of it. Okay, this is the story. Two men got into a fight. And they're fighting each other, and somehow the pregnant woman got in the middle, and they pushed her, they hit her, and she miscarries. So the Torah says, Amir Abulazar, and the Gemara says, what's the case over there? The matzah shebemisa kosim medaber. The pasuk is speaking, Abulazar says, what type of fight was it? A fight to kill. And they're out to kill each other. Or at least one was out to kill the other guy. But not stop to beat him up, to hurt him. Mamish to kill him. And yet the Torah says, Vim yiya asin, if an accident will happen, meaning if the woman is killed, v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh, you have to give soul for a soul. Okay? Life for a life. Which Gemara is later going to explain argument if it's money or you're actually killed. So basically what happens like this. I'm going to explain the whole scenario because we need to understand this for the Gemara soon. If somebody kills somebody, they get capital punishment. That's what the Torah says, right? You kill somebody, you get killed. What happens though, but obviously as the Gemara is going to explain, in order to get killed, you need to be warned. You can't get killed, you can't get malchus, you can't get punishment. Not money. Money you don't need to be warned for. But in order to get lashes, somebody eats chazer, pig, and they want to get lashes, they have to be warned. If they're not warned, they just eat pig, even though it's intentional, but they weren't warned, they don't get lashes. Okay? We're going to learn soon, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that has a very interesting argument. If A wanted to kill B, and by mistake, they killed C. Very simple case. A guy took a gun, aimed at B. Okay? The guy ducked, and he hit C. Or he missed, or whatever. Bottom line is, A wanted to kill B, and C got killed. So there's an argument in the Mishnah, in Sanhedrin, if the guy gets capital punishment for that.
Yeah, because he was going to get killed.
No, it was an accident.
But the problem is, he didn't kill who he wanted to kill.
So?
Well, so maybe that's not, his mission wasn't fulfilled.
Unintentional.
It's unintentional, it's an accident.
Well, the question is, one opinion says, because he didn't want to kill C, it's accidental. But another opinion says, you wanted to kill somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the difference? So you killed B or C? So there's an argument in the Gemara. Now, what happened over here like this? Two guys are fighting. A pregnant woman gets in there somehow. Okay? And the Torah says like this. If the woman wasn't killed, then you have to pay for the kids that the miscarriage. You have to pay the miscarriage fee. I'll explain in a second what it is.
Which one pays? They're fighting.
No, the guy that pushed her.
Okay.
Now, it says, Vim ye asing, but what happens if there's an accident, meaning the woman died? So the Pasuk says, you give life for a life. Okay? Simply right now it means you get killed.
What if it was no warning?
One second. So what's the simple meaning? The way the Gemara is learning it now, you're going to get killed because you killed the woman. Right? Now, the Gemara says, hey, Chidami, what's the case? If they didn't warn the guy before, Amai Mikto, why should he get killed? He wasn't warned. So we must say, the Asrube, that they did warn him. Right?
Warn him against the woman or against the man? Doesn't matter.
Well, we'll soon see. It doesn't matter. That hitting and killing would... Listen... If two people are killing each other, right? You don't have to tell them, you're not allowed to kill Joe because if you kill, you said, you're not allowed to, what's the warning? You're not allowed to, it doesn't matter who he's killing. You have to say, what's the warning? The warning is, you're not allowed to kill, and if you kill, you're gonna get death. That's the warning. So you don't have to tell man, woman. The guy is two people fighting, they're out to kill each other. Right? Because that's how Rabbi Lozer learns. That they're talking about fighting with the intent to kill. Now, the Gemara says it must be speaking that he was warned. Because the Pasuk says if the woman was killed, the guy gets killed. That's the simple meaning of the Pasuk. Nefesh, tachos, nefesh. Then you killed her, you're gonna get killed. So obviously the Gemara said we must say that the guy was warned. Because if he wasn't warned, he's not gonna get killed, right? Mm-hmm. Now, and therefore we must say also, if you warn somebody for something stricter, have a meisr, it's considered a warning for more lenient. Right?
What?
Meaning, huh?
What do you mean?
I'll tell you what it is. If you kill somebody, you get killed. If you wound somebody, it's lesser. Now, what happens if I warned you not to kill somebody, but you didn't kill him, you just wounded him? Now, is that warning that I gave you not to kill, is that an effective warning for not to hurt him also?
Yes, it is.
Not necessarily, yeah.
Well, we'll still see a machlekes in the Gemara. But the way the Gemara is learning now, the Gemara is assuming that most have been warning for a stricter thing would be good for lesser things. That means, if I'm warning you not to kill, that warning would be good enough not to wound somebody. Right? Yet the Torah says that if there's no death of the woman, then he has to pay payment. Anish yonish means he has to pay the value of the babies. Correct?
Got it?
Okay.
What is the value of the baby?
How you estimate the value of the baby? Honestly, it says, the halacha is like this. how much a pregnant woman, how much a regular woman is sold on the slave market, and how much a pregnant woman would be sold on the slave market. A pregnant woman is more valuable, because if she's a slave, her kids are slaves. Right? So a guy would rather buy a pregnant slave, a guy who's buying slaves, right? Would rather buy, he'd pay more for a pregnant slave than for a non-pregnant slave, because a pregnant slave has an additional kid slave along the way.
What is the average price of a slave?
Whatever the market, the slave market was, that was the loch. Okay, but let's not get carried away. Now what happens over here is like this. Two men are fighting. If you want, you know, it'd be clearer, much clearer now once we got the general idea, now we'll get into the details. Two men are fighting to kill each other, or to want to kill. We must say they were warned. Correct? And the Torah says like this. If the woman was killed, if the mother was killed, he killed the guy who killed her. If the mother wasn't killed, he has to pay the value of the babies, because the babies were lost. She miscarried. The babies were lost. Right? Hello?
That's not considered killing, because the baby doesn't...
They're not 30 days yet, they're not, they're a fetus yet, they're not human beings that you'll get killed for. Okay. So the Torah says, two men are fighting, a woman gets stuck in the middle. If you kill the woman, then you get killed. If you don't kill the woman, but her babies die, you pay monetary damages. That's what the Torah says. Onish, yonish, you have to pay the money of the value of the babies.
Got it.
Now, the Gemara makes an assumption like this. We must say they were warned. Because if they weren't warned and the woman was killed, you can't kill the guy anyway because he wasn't warned. Correct? Therefore, we must say that he was warned not to kill. Premise number two is, if you were warned for something stricter, that warning is good for something less strict. That means, if you were warned not to kill, it includes not to wound. Correct?
No.
Why?
Always, all the way around, always we say for the small thing to the big, we never say, if you don't wound it, for sure don't kill it. That makes sense.
No, if I tell you, God forbid, if you wound somebody, you're going to have to pay. That's not a warning that if you kill him, you're going to get killed. But the other way is a warning. What? I'm telling you not to do it because you're going to get a stricter punishment. For sure the lesser punishment is good warning.
But you could say, don't wound him, you may end up killing him.
That's not the warning.
Don't hurt.
You have to warn the guy clearly. Not maybe you do this.
And I give him the punishment.
Right.
Who's going to testify?
One second. Let's first say this.
What is the Hatzorah statement? What is the statement?
That Hatzorah say, if you kill somebody, you're going to get killed.
That's it?
Read the witness. Read the, also witness too, right?
No, the witness has to tell him, you're not allowed to kill, and if you kill, you get killed. Now the Gemara says, assumption number one is that the warning for the stricter case is good for the wounding case. If the warning is valid about killing, it's definitely valid about wounding.
So if he wounds, what does that?
Now, therefore, if the guy wounds, so there's malchus because he was warned, and the financial payment for the kids. Correct? And yet, what does the Torah say you do? You only pay money for the kids. The Torah doesn't say you get malchus. The Torah says anish yonish, which means you have to pay money. So this is Rav Shish's, one second, this is Rav Shish's proof. This is Rav Shish's proof that whenever there's malchus and money, you only pay money and you don't get malchus.
What means malchus?
Whip, lashes.
How did you learn from here? Because there is no...
Because I told you.
You're honest.
The warning for death, for killing, is good for malchus, for wounding. Wounding is a negative commandment. You're not allowed to hit somebody, okay. Right? Now, when the guy wounded the woman and the babies died, correct? Did he transgress a negative commandment? Should that get malchus? And he was warned, because the stricter warning is good for the lesser warning, right? So really, just for hitting the woman, he should get malchus. But he also has to pay because he killed the kids. What does the Torah say? What do you get?
Yeah,
only money.
That word means money?
Anish means money. Which means we see clearly from this din that when you have malchus and money, you have to pay money and you don't get malchus. That's how he proves the din that we said before, that when there's malchus and money, you pay money and you don't get malchus.
They say like Rabbi Yochanan.
Yes. No, Rabbi Yochanan says he get, no, like Ula. Like Ula.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Gemara asked, one second. The Gemara is going to ask a question now, what some of you mentioned. How do you know a stricter warning? The whole premise is based on that the stricter warning is good for the lesser sin. So therefore, because he wounded her, he was warned to kill, which is good for warning, as wounding, and therefore he should get malchus. One second. What happens though, if the warning for killing is not good for the warning of wounding? That means when he wounded her, was he warned? No, because it's not a good warning. He was only warned not to kill.
How can the people, like, imagine, you don't know if they're going to either kill or wound. What kind of warning they're going to give? If you wound it, it's going to get wound, or if you kill it,
that's
get
no, killed. That's what Rabbi Lazar says. No, Rabbi Lazar said, which was a given, so to speak.
They don't know.
But matzah shebemitza kosim medaber. He's speaking when the guy was out to kill his friend. And you saw it. By the blows.
By the warning, he changed his mind. He said, you know what, better not kill him, let me just wound him.
But the question is, the whole premise is based that the guy was warned not to wound, and yet the Torah says only pay money. When was he warned not to wound? So the premise was, if he was warned not to kill, that's automatically considered a warning also for wounding. Therefore, he should get malchus for wounding the person, and he has to pay for the kids, and the Torah says, you only pay, you get malchus, okay, right? But what happens if the premise is wrong, and a warning for stricter is not valid for lesser? So then he was never warned not to wound. So then he wouldn't get malchus for wounding, because he wasn't warned. And the money, though, you would have to pay. So the Gemara is going to refute the proof by asking, who says your whole premise is wrong? Your whole premise was the guy was warned not to wound.
Not to kill.
Because your premise is that because he was warned not to kill, it's a valid warning for not to wound. Therefore, he should get malchus, but he doesn't because he pays. But if your premise is wrong, then he was never warned not to wound, because he was only warned not to kill. And if you say the stricter warning is not valid for the lesser warning, then there's no warning. So he's not going to get malchus anyway. So of course he has to pay. But how do you know in a case where he does get malchus, maybe he gets malchus and doesn't pay?
He wants to say there's no proof.
Right.
Beautiful. Nice.
How about if you tell him, don't hit the guy, and he hits
No, you have to tell him the punishment.
And he kills him.
Okay. No.
So it is acceptable to say that the warning for not to kill...
Well, the Gemara's question, how do you know that? The Gemara, let's see, Maskel of Ravashi, three lines from the end of the page. He says, Mimai de Meisel Odover Chomer, how do you know that warning for a worse sin is considered Musra Lodover Akal, is warning for a lesser sin, de Malehi, maybe it's not true? And he says like this, even if you say it is, yeah, Mimai de Misa Chamot, this is a very interesting Gemara. Who says death is worse than malchus? The Gemara is saying, you have a premise, yeah? That if you warn it for the stricter thing, it's good for the lesser thing. So if you wound them not to get killed, for sure it's warning for malchus, right? So the Gemara says, first of all, who says your premise is right? Maybe if you warn for a stricter thing, it's not a good enough warning for a lesser thing. But then the Gemara says, who says death is worse than malchus? Maybe lashes are worse than death. And the Gemara is going to prove it.
But he's suffering. Died.
Yeah, because the person died once.
Embarrassment.
Yeah.
They say embarrassment.
No, listen. Dilma, malchus chamur. Maybe malchus is stricter. Maybe malchus is a worse penalty. Where do we see such a thing? The Amar Rav said... Ilmole nagdul Hananya Mishol Vazaya. If they would have whipped Hananya Mishol Vazaya, Pochel Tzama, they would have worshipped the statue. What happened was with Hananya Mishol Vazaya, Nebuchadnezzar, the wicked king Nebuchadnezzar, told Hananya Mishol Nazaria to bow to an idol. Okay? And they refused. And because of that, he threw him into the burning fire. And Hashem did a miracle, they came out alive. Right? Hananya Mishol Vazaya. So Rav says a very interesting statement. If they didn't throw him into the fire, if they would have kept beating Hananya Mishol Nazaya, they would have bowed down to the idol at the end.
Well, how can you say that?
If they beat him instead, they would have bowed down to an idol. Death, they said, okay, we'll die good. But to get beaten was worse. Before we even go into Rav's concept. But what do you see from there? That Malchus is stricter than death.
You can't compare that together.
Why?
No.
Why?
When you did something, your punishment is lashes. But to lash somebody to do something is different. You can't compare them. You're lashing to bow to the idol. It's different. You can't compare this together.
No, the question is, they were willing, and by the way, he says, Rishenim understand Rav. What's Rav saying over there? First, how does he know? How does he know that if they beat him, they would have bowed down to an idol?
Yeah,
I would know. He's making that assumption. Right, where does he get the assumption from? So he explains at the bottom, somebody should understand Rav to mean that although the Torah commands a person to sacrifice his life rather than bowing down to an idol, but the Torah does not obligate him to endure torture.
Because
they can't handle it.
So why didn't Mordecai? Why didn't Mordecai get tortured by he didn't bow down.
But Taisus argues. Taisus says you are obligated to torture yourself rather than bow down to an idol. So Rabbeinu Tam explains it wasn't really an idol; it was a glorification of the king. So they really didn't have to give up their life. But bottom line is what the Gemara says. By the way, you know, there's a Gemara in Makkos, it also says that going into Ari Miklat, Golus, is also worse than death. Like he said very profoundly, you die, you're over with it. You know, like the world asks the famous question, you know, everybody speaks about Avram bringing up Yitzchak as a sacrifice was a test of Avram Avinu. Right? Not Yitzchak. It's called Akedus Yitzchak. But like Kim Nisas Avram, Hashem tested Avram, right? It was Avram's test, not Yitzchak's test.
Right.
So if you watch the movie, Yitzchak's this little pipsqueak boy, and the father's taking him, you know, to go get killed. Yitzchak's 37 years old. Yitzchak's 37 years old. I mean, greatness, maturity. He's the one getting killed. Why is it called Avram's test?
because it's harder to kill your son than get
killed.
So the answer is the Mufashim asked the question.
There's no greater pain.
So the answer is, by Yitzchak is a one-time shot. Goodbye, it's over. You're killed. Allah la vista. You're killed. You're finished. Avram had to live with it. It's harder to live with it than to die for it. So the Gemara is saying, in certain respects. Lashes wasn't like, you know, you get lashes. Lashes were gazettes, man. Like in Singapore, they gave the guy 3 lashes, the whole world went crazy.
They go to Yina all the time. Everything.
I know, but remember the story in Singapore years ago?
Caning.
Huh?
Caning. Yeah, for graffitis.
Yeah, whatever. They whipped them a few times, the whole world went crazy. But anyway, so the Gemara's question is, first of all, the guy made a premise that a warning for stricter is good for the lesser, and therefore, for wounding, he was warned, and therefore, he should be getting Malchus, but instead, he's only paying money. So, Mar says, who said that's true? Maybe a warning for stricter is not good for a lesser. So, therefore, he was never warned for wounding. So, then he wouldn't get Malchus, so of course, he has to pay. But then the Mar says a second statement. Even if your premise is true, who says that death is stricter than lashes? Maybe lashes are stricter than death. Where do we see that concept? Because Rav said, if they beat up Hananya Mishol Vazaya, they would have bowed down to the idol. They wouldn't have handled it. And to die, they were ready to die. So Gemara says like this.
Sorry, one question.
What?
So if you wound and you're warned, what's the...
You get lashes.
You get lashes.
But if you have to pay money, then you don't get lashes. You just pay money.
But here's one thing. Let's say the guy is so angry, he's about to kill somebody. Somebody says, oh, don't kill him. You're going to get lashes or whatever. You're going to kill you. He's going to really hear it?
Yeah.
Is that considered hearing it?
Yeah, because all the warning does is the guy shouldn't come along later and say, I didn't know you're not allowed to. The Gemara says, the purpose of Asra of warning, lahavchim ben shegig lemezid. Because a guy's going to kill somebody, if he wasn't warned, he'll say, I didn't know you're not allowed to kill. I never learned the book. So when you warn, or I did it accidentally.
Ignorance.
No, he says, or I did it, he could say, or I did it accidentally. But if you warn the guy, you're not allowed to, you can't say he did it accidentally. Because he did it intentionally.
But doesn't it say in Kirkiyahu, like if someone is uncast and he's angry, there is not the right time to tell him about don't be angry or don't do this. He wants to kill somebody. You know, don't kill. He's not going to pay attention to this.
Yes, you do. Him. You tell him, if he knows Bezin's going to kill him, he'll kill, he'll listen.
Yeah.
You better believe it. Who wants to get killed?
That's right.
So is it,
or as they say in the religious world, the crime is not stealing, the crime is getting caught.
Yeah, but if a base didn't kill someone, that's a bad base didn't, because they're not supposed to kill anybody.
But if somebody has to get killed, they kill them. So the Gemara says like this. No, the Gemara's not done this. The Gemara's going into a very interesting thing. The Gemara says there's still a difference between set amount of hitting or non-stop hitting. Malchus, you know exactly how much you're getting. V'chanani Mishon and Azayu, when they were beaten, if they would have been beaten up by Nebuchadnezzar instead of thrown into the fire,
yeah,
it would have been unlimited beating.
They don't know how many times.
So maybe over there, unlimited beating, you tack a bow down to an idol. But limited beating, how do you know you wouldn't bow down to an idol? In other words, maybe unlimited beating is worse than death. But limited beating is not.
So he went into a fire, Rabbi?
They were thrown into the fire.
So I have a question about that.
Yeah?
When you're talking about notwithstanding the lashes, he agreed to go into the fire.
Right.
Every human being knows how painful walking into fire is.
No, they're thrown into the fire, but they were ready to die for it.
Right.
No.
But what I'm saying is if they were ready to endure that...
That hurts more than beating.
It's a painful death, that's what I'm saying.
It's very, but
it's
quick. It's quick.
Burning is quick?
Yeah.
Yeah, were they were thrown in or they walked in themselves?
No, they were thrown in.
Thrown in. Without advance notice.
No advance
notice. No warning.
Okay, the Gemara says like this. Amalei Rav Samar Eved Rav Asi. Okay? Or some people say Rav Samar, the son of Rav Asi, said to Rav Asi. He said to him, I don't understand. Leishanulav, there's no difference between Hakosh Yesher Kitzva, between a limited beating to a beating She'en Lo Kitzva, there's no warning. In other words, like this. The Gemara's whole proof that lashes is worse than death is from Rav about Hanani Mishon and Azariah.
Which is not applicable.
It's not applicable because they were getting unlimited beating. They would have gotten unlimited beating. By Malchus, you can't say Malchus is worse than death, because the guy knows exactly how many he's going to get.
How many is there?
Well, maximum 39. Max 39.
How do they come up with maximum?
Torah says. No, because the din is, before any guy got lashes, the court doctor evaluated the person how many he can handle.
Oh.
If you can handle 5, that's it. That's all he got. He can handle 10. Max was 39.
Is the halacha that the stricter it covers the less, or it has to be specific to the act?
Huh?
You have to be specific to what they're doing, and it doesn't apply to for less, or is it applies to the less? What's the halacha on that?
The halacha is that it is a good warning.
So a warning for a more strict is good for anything less than that?
He brings out over here to cite an interesting thing, the commentaries, which always quotes the halacha. He says, the whole din of warning for something stricter, for something else, he said, I didn't find it anywhere in the Rambam. Whatever,
but that's the halacha.
That a stricter warning is good for a lesser warning. But the Gemara's only question is, first of all, how do you know that? And secondly, who says this is stricter? Maybe Malchus is worse than death. So Gemara says, no, you can't say Malkus was sent from Hanani Mishov Azaya, because that was unlimited beating. How do you know how much it would be by a limited beating? Like Malkus. And also, Maskela, Rav Yaakov bin Apikaid, Rav Yaakov bin Apikaid asked a question like this. This whole premise is if you say that if the woman was killed, you get killed. Correct? And then you were warned, and then the warning would be good for wounding. Right? Because you said, nefesh tachas nefesh, life for life. But there is an opinion in the Gemara, Rebbe, that says, even if you killed a woman, it's only money. You don't get killed. So then he would never be warned for lashes. Because even when the guy is warned about the woman, he's only warned not to kill.
What, he murdered her?
By accident.
Oh, by accident.
Well, if you kill a woman, there's no death penalty?
Yeah.
See how
he had killed twice. No, the question is...
First they kill you, then they kill
the Pasuk says...
How about your mother-in-law?
Okay, one second. It's all on tape, by the way.
Give you a case.
Okay. Send it to everybody's mother-in-law. Okay, it says like this. The Pasuk says... Let's get the Pasuk straight again. Two men are fighting. They want to kill each other. That's a given, right? A woman gets in the way. A pregnant woman gets in the way. So the Pasuk says... If the woman dies, until now we learned it means you get killed. Whoa. Correct? And you were obviously warned, because if you weren't warned to kill that guy, you're not gonna get punished. Now. And therefore we said like this, you were warned to kill, and it's good enough for wounding, and therefore you don't pay, yet you pay money, is it proof you don't get malchus? Right? But the Gemara said that's only good if you hold nefesh for nefesh means life for life. But if nefesh tachas nefesh means that even if the woman died, you only pay money, so you would never, there's no case over here of wounding or killing, you only have to pay money anyway.
If you hold that it was an accident.
Correct. If you hold that story. Uh-huh. Why? Why does Rebbe say that? Because that was the case we talked all the way at the beginning. A wants to shoot B. B ducks. And by mistake, he kills C. Correct? Does A get killed? So until now, the premise of the Gemara was you do get killed. Because they wanted to kill each other, and they killed a woman instead. Right? But Rabbi holds, if you wanted to kill one guy, and by mistake he kills somebody else, there's no capital punishment.
You pay.
You only pay.
How they translate nefesh tachas nefesh means money?
Ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, what does it mean?
The only argument is for nefesh tachas nefesh or the other
things? No, all the things mean money. But that's...
Nefesh is argument? I asked it before.
What?
Why is this argument nefesh tachas nefesh it means?
What does it mean? Rabbi says it means money because... You can't, according to Rebbe, if what you wanted to do wasn't done, you can't be liable for it.
It's like laws of Shabbos.
Yeah. You wanted to do one thing, you ended up doing something else. Rebbe holds that if you wanted to kill, A wanted to kill B. So if B gets killed, A gets killed. But if by mistake, they killed C instead of B. So even though his intention was to kill, and for killing you get killed, but his intention was not to kill C. So as far as C is concerned, he killed him unintentionally. So he can't get the death sentence.
Okay, but if he kills a woman by intention...
Of course he gets killed. What do you think?
So the best thing is when you murder someone at the trial, you just say, I was trying to kill someone else.
No, do you need to have witnesses?
You got two witnesses, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's why you say that Hashem is full of bad sentence.
Yes.
Because, you know, truthfully, it's fair. Even though you killed someone.
Okay, so therefore...
You don't have a mother-in-law, that's all.
Therefore, it could be this case that no warning whatsoever. If Rebbe says... that it means money, so how do you know the guy was ever warned?
What do you mean?
When the two men were fighting, one wanted to kill each other. The Gemara said before, we must say there was warning.
Right.
Because if not, how can, if the woman dies, how can you get killed for killing the woman? You weren't warned. So the obvious answer is you were warned. But if you hold when you kill the woman, you don't get killed because he didn't mean to kill her, and therefore you only have to pay money. So it could be the whole case is when the guy wasn't warned.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Two guys were fighting. There was no warning. Yeah. By mistake, they killed the woman.
Uh-huh.
Right? And, but the things you only pay money. For money, you don't need warning. So the case was he was never warned.
If it wasn't a warning,
and that's why he pays money. But maybe if he was one, he would get Malchus and not money. So you can't prove that when there's Malchus and money, you pay and you don't get Malchus.
What about if it was warning and by mistake he killed somebody else? Still, there is a Malchus?
According to Rebbe,
he
doesn't get killed.
Malchus.
No. Because the guy that got killed was unintentional.
Even with Hasra?
Yeah. But, yes. Because he now is not the guy he wanted to kill. Right.
So he pays or there is a malchut?
No, pays.
Pays.
He didn't want, but the fact that he died is what was meant that guy died.
Okay, so a guy kills somebody accidentally, he runs to the refuge, he doesn't get killed. What?
For money, you don't need to be warned.
Right.
Why not?
Because it's not a punishment. It's not a punishment. It's a monetary value. I damaged your property.
It's a reimbursement.
If I come right now to your house and break a window, you need to warn me?
Okay. So if you don't need warning by and to killing somebody,
you do need.
Someone's car is amazing. You need a warning? It's such an obvious thing. Such a basic.
Homer.
Right. If you warn somebody, not allowed to kill.
The Torah says if you're not warned, ain't ancient Ellen came as in it. You don't. Well, that's not what the pasuk means. That Gemara means something else. But you can't punish a guy with punishment, not financial punishment. You can't, only Adam Zaymimim we learned, and that's it. You can't punish a guy with punishment if they're not warned. That's the Torah law.
It makes sense.
But if I damage your property, it's not a punishment. I damage your property, it's a financial responsibility.
It makes sense, you pay.
It's in sharp contrast.
There's no death penalty.
The Gaisha law is, you don't, ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Right.
Yeah.
There's only monetary damage with steel.
What?
Why the Torah doesn't say in the first one time, like many other missiles, you know? If you kill somebody, you're going to get killed. So be careful, don't do this. Each time you have to
hear
Hatra, each time you have to tell him, each time
you have to... Yeah. And now that, the warning has to be Tech Dibor, within a few seconds. What?
Huh?
I don't want it to be
Tech,
I'm sorry.
That's the thing, that's
why
they have to be authoritative.
Don't worry. No, I don't want it.
You
can't hear you.
Okay.
That's why the person has to say that they can't hear you. And if he didn't hear it, too bad.
They're like...
Right,
no
right.
They have to know better,
seven, because there's only seven, but they don't need to be
one
warned.
One of them is not killing.
Huh?
Not killing is one of them.
Not killing is one of them. The seven mitzvahs ben inech, a non-Jew gets killed without, but he gets killed for any one of the seven mitzvahs ben inech. If a non-Jew steals, he gets killed. If a non-Jew eats a live limb off an animal, he gets killed. But Jews don't get that. Because they have seven,
they
huh?
They do that with crabs or clams or
whatever.
So there's no shiur, you're saying? In the
that's a separate issue. There's no amount by a guy versus a Jew. What?
Doesn't it say somewhere, if a guy says, I don't know you're not allowed to kill, it's like Korav Lameisi? It's like...
No, it's not Korav Lameisi, because if he was warned, he can't say, I didn't know you're not allowed to kill. Because the warning is, you're not allowed to kill, and if you kill, you get killed. How did he say, I didn't know you're not allowed to? He was just told that you're not allowed to.
By who? By one person or has to be?
Both Adam together.
It
has
to be two. Yeah. Where did Adam say that?
Witnesses. Mm-hmm. Two kosher witnesses. Warn them.
And if you don't have the two, then that's it. There's nothing to do.
If a guy goes in a dark alley with nobody around, yeah, and kills a guy.
Yeah? Nobody saw it.
Nobody saw it. The guy's not going to get killed. According to Torah law, DNA is not a proof.
Really?
Really?
Not in capital cases.
Why?
Because Torah says only Edom, only witnesses.
How about he was caught on camera?
Witness,
oh,
not valid.
Because of the warning situation.
Not only that, you need two witnesses.
How about camera?
No good.
No.
Even in court today, cameras are not. You know that you could change any camera? You can make, create pictures?
Yeah.
I could put you in the middle of a murder story. I could. You,
yeah, with today's technology, yes.
Yeah. So even in the courts, they don't hold it too much anymore.
It would take a world's expert to be able to tell the difference.
Right.
Yeah.
So even
they have to run all kinds of tests.
When the Torah says you have to see it, you have to see it. A camera is not seeing it.
That is the best way, really, when you're talking
we
about
mentioned there's issues now. It's going to come up more and more with Chol V'Yisrael. You know, according to Halach, if you have need a Jew to watch the milking, right? The Jew has to be present to watch the milking. So what some companies are doing now, let's say they have a bunch of farms. So instead of having different mashgichim and different farms, mashgich sits in an office and he watches via camera all the milkings.
Yeah.
That's legal? Yeah.
He watches all the milkings via camera.
Wow.
So the way we hold of Cholav Akum, that a Jew must actually see this milking,
directly.
Not because maybe they're mixing in pig's milk. If the thing is, you might mix in pig's milk so you could see if the guy's doing it or not.
Yeah.
But if you hold it, there's an essential din that a Jew got to watch the milking, it's not the Jew's not watching the milking.
So it has to be live, not
dead. Live,
so,
not
so
dead.
So Rabbanim are against that, right?
Depends which ones. But it's starting to happen. It's not happening yet.
It's not happening yet. If they do that, then they're going to say, okay, we can go by camera, we have a witness of two.
No.
Married.
That's what I'm saying. You can't do that. Halacha.
So it will lead to that, he's saying.
Yeah.
They won't.
I didn't realize that we drink pigs, that people drink pigs.
Before you know it, we'll have women rabbis.
Really?
There are female
rabbis.
There
are women rabbis. Not your father's. It's one down the street, yes.
Well, not down the street. It's down the street.
I honestly don't understand how Gentiles can... They boil the... What is it? The crab?
Okay,
the
let's not get...
They do it a lot.
Would the cameras help for you?
It's very cool.
No.
Okay.
Cameras help for you.
What?
It makes it worse.
Okay.
If you have a camera, if a man and a woman are alone in a building, yeah? Even if the door is unlocked, which is no yichud, but if there's a camera that they can see if anybody comes in, then there's a problem with yichud. The only yichud is that somebody could pop in.
They can
see out.
How about you see the other way? Somebody the other way.
He's talking about the other way.
Then there could be no problem of yichud.
So for yichud does help.
Yeah. Okay. The next piece of Gemara goes all the way.